These are the PCORI methodology standards. This category is about standards for data networks as research facilitating structures. It was prepared by Dr. Hadi Karatsi from the Department of Health Policy and Management and Dr. Daniel Ford from the Department of Medicine. It will be presented by Dr. Karatsi.
Hello, this is Hadi Karatsi. In this module, I will be discussing the architectures that data networks can have and what are the technical issues that you may face with some of them.
This module, which talks about the architectures for data networks, covers DN1G subtopic, which is the common data models.
Most networks will begin with the basic components, like they have a system for sharing the data, they have some governance policies, and a way to share the strategy for integrating data from multiple sources. That's sort of the basic thing that happens. And this criteria can effectively be met with some unsophisticated technical methods like an IRB managed governance, encrypted email or secured file transfer protocol or SFTP for data sharing, or even manual incremental management of the data models for each of the additional analytical purposes that you create. So at a minimum, you can do it, but you still need to adhere to security and data protection practices that are reusable. However, this is a very sort of a risky business if you want to do it this way. For example, if you don't adhere and use an intermediate storage and the transfer of the data, like, you know, you use your Gmail account or Dropbox to share data, clinical data, then you have basically changed data ownership within the transfer of the data. And there are issues on doing this. Or even if you want to mail your data on a memory stick, then you also left it to, you know, potential theft and so on. So again, you don't need to have a big data network to be able to do your study. But if you tend to create a data network, you have to adhere to some basics. And there are some minimal requirements, and people are not that clear on what those requirements could be. There are some best of breed practices out there, but when it gets to minimum requirements of data networks, as far as you abide by those policies and guidelines, it should be fine. So the minimum requirements for data network architecture could be the key architectural features of networks that have successfully advanced from these minimum requirements into systems supporting multiple, multi-site, multi-domain studies with a common framework, or it could be something bigger or smaller. So what are the common models out there? The most common model for a data network architecture is a distributed architectural paradigm, which we will talk more about it. This model retains a local control while the workflow and access is coordinated via a central hub. And you have to make sure that it's within the distributed model. The workflow for data integration includes two approaches. Either it's a pre-transformation of source data to a common data model, where you get it and then you do certain things, or it's a dynamic transformation of source data to a conceptual domain model, and that is via a published transformational logic. A network that it's working toward a framework for data sharing may meet only the minimal legal or technical standards with a simple technology and data storage practices, and that might be fine when you want to scale it. But you have to make sure that whatever you design is scalable in the future. This minimal network design often includes both centralized and distributed paradigms with some features of maybe cloud-based approaches. And usually there is a query distribution for each of the data partners. So you can sort of query them at the same time, either locally within their data or within your centralized data that you have. And often there is a recommended security practice called defense in depth strategy that, again, we will talk later, that is part of the common models used out there. So let's talk about the architectures. These are information technology architectures. And the most common architecture that researchers use for their data networks is the distributed or sometimes also called federated systems. They have a local node for the data partners, and then eventually all of the data partners will share the data based on that central node that you give them. So there are local nodes around the central node. The ultimate endpoint of promoting a distributed approach is to implement a grid-based system where the hardware and software for collaborators are maintained by each of them and you're not worried about it. And then they will share the data as needed. There are some examples of big data networks out there. We will go through these in the later modules, like Mini Sentinel, Further, Darknet, Burn, or the cancer's big bioinformatics grid. And of course, when we talk about patient-centeredness within this federated model, the re-identification or pre-identification is feasible under the local control, which will enable identification of patients for collection of patient report and outcomes, for example. So the local controls know who the patients are, but when they start sharing it within the data network, then nobody knows who those patients are. Is that the only way to create a data network? Certainly not. You can create a central repository, that's easy. So everybody sends their data, you have to harmonize it, and you put it all in one place. That's what typically happens in all payer claims databases, in registries, or sometimes also referred to as the Regenstrief model. Regenstrief, an institute at Indiana University, actually created a more dynamic central repository model, and that's sometimes referred to them as well. And in terms of the patient-centeredness, of course, the collection and linkage to other things like surveys such as patient-reported outcomes might be more challenging, especially if you do not know the IDs of the patients that are in your central repository. Now, as we see more and more, there are now new architectures out there that they use the clouds, and that means it's a distributed remote service system that sort of divides the computational and storage efforts on multiple servers. And there are some developed data networks out there like pScanner and Mini Sentinel, the sort of PCORI scanner and Mini Sentinel, that partially use cloud, but none of the networks out there are cloud-based only. Here are how they look. So this is a federated model. So each of these databases belongs to one of the providers. For example, we have a database that contains EHR data from provider one, another one that provides data from, you know, another provider. It's all, again, EHR. EHR number three, you can see that on the left side of the screen. On the right side, you know, you have even databases from other providers or the same provider, it depends, that has payers' claim data, registries, or even PROs, you name it. And then you try to maybe query all of these in real time without knowing who the patients are. But of course, there might be duplications happening, data is not harmonized, and a better model is this model, where it's a federated, consistent architecture, and it's more interoperable. At least you know who's who. If there's a John Doe in one database, another John Doe somewhere, you have some patient data matching happening, you have a massive patient index, and this way you can run your studies smoother. Of course, an easy way, but more challenging in the long term, is a centralized architecture where you bring in the data, all of it at once, into a central data repository. Of course, the governance here is a bit more challenging because the data is leaving each of the nodes. And the federated model, the data stays there, and whenever they want to be out of the network, they can just take out their data. But here, the data has left sort of the provider. There's also a cloud data repository model, which would be even more complex, but that's what the future entails. Here's also a hybrid architecture where we have a federated model on the left side and we have a centralized model on the right side, and you can even link them together if needed. That would be a data network of data networks. So if you want to query something in your data network, there are ways to do this, and that is called the query distribution or data request process. So as you see in a federated model specifically, it's not as easy as a centralized model where you can just query one database. These are multiple databases protected behind the firewalls of all of these providers, and also a lot of times they don't have patient identifiers. So it makes it very challenging to run queries. There are ways to do this. I don't want to go through all of the technical details, but for example, Mini Sentinel uses something called a publish and subscribe model, where the data holders are notified of waiting queries. So you basically send queries there, and there is a queue of queries there in a local node, and then they would run it and send you the data back. Or another model is Dartnet, which all queries will run locally and also simultaneously, which is a different way to look at it. There are more information at the standards and interoperability framework group of the Office of National Coordinator. It's called usually the S&I framework. And they have created something called the Query Health Technology Work Group, where the query health is a dynamic query that can go through all of these nodes that you have in a federated model, pull out of the data, and put it in a central sort of analytical database that you need in your data network. Again, there are too many technical details there that I tend to stay away. Here are the links if you want to know more about query execution paradigms. You can see the query health from Office of National Coordinator, which actually uses a specific framework for authentication. It's called the PubMedNet to run distributed queries, and sometimes it's also integrated in a system called I2B2, which I will talk about later. There's also the ONC Data Access Framework, which uses HL7 as a basis of making a query and uses a special version of it called FHIR, which is usually pronounced FHIR. And there is also a new one in process called ONC Structured Data Capture, where at the beginning, when you start capturing the data, you will ask for a certain way that it would be captured anyways. Again, these are very technical documentations, but if you like to know how to run queries in your federated data network, these are the best places to go to. Let's say you do have a data structure, a good architecture, let's say federated. You also know how to run the queries, so now it's the time that you need to start integrating it. And there are some common models for research domains of interest that you can adapt and use those to harmonize. But as I talked before in the module that I discussed interoperability, there you can do semantic interoperability transformation before the data comes in or after the data leaves your common data model. There are some challenges here, and hopefully the informatics community will be able to automate most of these processes in the future. And of course, security is an issue. And there are different ways that you can look at security and make sure that everything is secure when you use the data and you integrate the data. So one common model is something called defense in depth, which provides a tight security control and auditing, including role-based personal level access control for data elements and resources. And this is, you know, probably one of the easiest ways to accomplish security control in a single network hub or a gateway. And again, this is a technical discussion on, you know, how the public and private key infrastructure will exchange the security standards, whether it would be an internet protocol, IP restricted access to the nodes from the portals, whether you want to put a password protected, secured HTTP protocol on it, and so on. Here are some also examples from Dartnet and Bern, which are, you know, two different sort of common data models and how they do this. Again, later on, I will talk about all of these data models in more details. There are also two sort of dimensions in data integration strategy. Sometimes people try to separate them. The data integration strategies ad hoc could be adoption of a common data model or on the fly. If you remember the interoperabilities of low, medium, and high, this is also referring to that as well. The most common one is the adoption of a common data model, which we will describe some of them in the next couple slides. And if all of your nodes are using the same common data model, then it's easy to share the data if needed. That would be sharing of data between the two different data networks if needed. There's also one way to look at it as the network transfer model, which is a different way to look at it. And then there are, you know, different models for that as well. In this slide, you can see the interaction between data integration strategies versus the data access or data network transfer models. So let's say if we have the data network transfer model of either ad hoc data transfer or centralized repository or federated, these are the three architecture we just talked about, then the data integration strategy might be different. So for example, we may have an ad hoc extraction, transfer, and load for individual projects and basically no common data model that in real time can integrate. This is like more manual, hard thing to do, or a common data model for storage and query federation, which makes it to some extent easier, or even go higher and use an on-the-fly transformation with common conceptual models for queries. And if you see how they interact, there are certain types of data networks out there that fit some of these categories. So as you can see, for example, the centralized repository model is, you know, the all payer claims database is there. And that means, you know, it's all in one place and you can basically query that if you like it. But on a federated with local storages on each of the sites, the nodes, that would be Mini Sentinel, Dartnet, Shrine, and other data networks. So this is sort of showing you the architecture in the columns, and the rows shows how hard that would translate into querying that architecture. Couple of the common data models, good to know, because if you adhere to some of these common data models, then eventually you can connect your data network maybe to an existing data network that uses the same common data model. And it's also, most of these common data models come up with all of the documentation needed. So all of the technical people would be able to go ahead in your local sites to adhere to these common data model sort of requirements, create their own local databases so they can start sharing it with you. So that's why it's called common, so everybody can adhere to those. There are a couple of these CDMs or common data models. The first one is the CDM used by Picornet. I will talk about Picornet later, but let's see how that CDM works. So this CDM, which is a bunch of documentation, bunch of code, API tools, is freely available for use. It's sort of open source. And the Picornet's Distributed Research Network actually uses this CDM for all of their partners. So just to give you a clue, PCORI has awarded certain centers, either inpatient or outpatient settings, to create big data networks of clinical information that could be used for CER research. And all of these centers are adhering to this common data model. So eventually on a national scale, if one day all of these data networks want to join, they can actually join and exchange data if needed because they all adhere to the same data model. Picornet CDM actually is based on the Mini Sentinel common data model, which was developed by FDA a while ago, but it has some differences. If you need to know more about this CDM, which actually uses sort of the latest standard terminologies as well, I've put a link on the screen that you can find out more about it. Here is the Picornet's CDM, what it stores in terms of the types of data. It has multiple versions. As they expand, bring in new data sources, as there are new studies, they usually expand these common data models to make them more flexible and more generalizable. So you can see in version one, for example, they wanted to make sure that at least they have the demographics and diagnosis of the patients and the encounters and like vitals and procedures, like very basic things for some studies to start with. But then in version two, they added more, version three more, and we are right now at version three, and this may actually change over time. And this is what usually the technical people will see. So this is the type of data that we are collecting. On the left side, I've listed some of them. We just saw it in the last slide as well. On the right side, you can see these are the tables in the database. So it goes into such detail of saying, if you want to store this data in a federated model, you have to store it this way. It has all of the details needed. And also, depending on, you know, what collaborative sort of center you are in and you're working for PCORI, you may need to adhere to certain things in this common data model versus the others. I don't want to go through the details, but your technical people or your informaticians need to look at these things, making sure that if you join some of these centers, you have to adhere to the data collection requirements that is suggested by PCORI. So we talked about the Picornet CDN. That's not the only data network that uses a CDN. There are other ones out there. This is also a very common one out there. It's the Observational Medical Outcome Partnership, or OMOP. OMOP, as you can see on the right side, also collects certain things. And this is version 4 of their CDN. And if you want to, let's say, get your EHR data and make sure it adheres to OMOP CDN version 4, you have to store it like this. I've also give you the link here, and I'm not expecting you to be able to read this, but this is basically the table structures in the database. So it goes as detailed as that. The good thing is, if I use it this way, if I run an algorithm and I find something and you're using the same thing, you can just take my algorithm, my model, and use it and see how it runs on yours and what you find. So just think about generalizability, scalability, and so on. There is another one, another CDN called the Analysis Data Model CDN, which is actually managed by CDISC. I've provided a link to that consortium. This is a consortium that tries to consolidate a lot of the standards out there and has more of an analytical twist into this. On the right side, you can see it not only has the data models, the tables, and so on, they even have recommendations on how to get the data together. So even the information flow is dictated by this common data model. Here's another one called the Biomedical Research Integrated Domain Group, or BRIDGE, which again works with CDISC and HL7 and other places like the National Cancer Institute and FDA. And you can see it has a slightly different approach. This also includes some biological information. It's not only clinical, it also has some other information in it that might be of importance to the stakeholders who would use the BRIDGE model. I've also provided the link that you can find more information about the CDM. For example, these are the data types that you have to collect for BRIDGE version 4. So if you see these things, all of these acronyms, they're all referring to common data models that can help you organize your data network in a way that your study could be replicated elsewhere as well. And of course, BRIDGE is very complex, and you can see here how many tables. There are hundreds of tables with different data types that they store, and just think about all of these lines, how these tables are interconnected. And here's another common data model called VDM, or the Virtual Data Warehouse model. It's part of an effort called the HMORN, or the Health Maintenance Organizations Research Network, which also uses a data network for certain things. But this is mostly about quality improvement research within the HMO organizations. Just think about it like an ACO that we talked in the previous modules, where they receive a lot of data, not only internally, but also externally from other ACOs, or in this case, HMOs, that they want to see how they can compare themselves against the other HMOs and how good they're performing in taking care of their population. So here in the image, you can see on the left side, there are, you know, a number of these healthcare systems that they share their data, then they can rank, they can look at the population. So it's very much of an operational research, and then they can improve the quality of care they give. So they all need to adhere to this VDW common data model. And has sort of a slightly easier data model, and you can see it has tables. These are actually database tables and all of the structures between them. If you want to learn more about data models and in general about data networks architecture, I would suggest that you would look up these links.